The Defense Department adds its own voice to a growing list of associations and members of Congress with ideas on how to improve the military's acquisition process. DOD's ideas center less on what Congress can do and more on what it should not do. Federal News Radio's executive editor, Jason Miller, joins us with details on what DOD is looking to change. Jason, good morning.
Good morning, Tom and Emily.
All right, so some of these acquisition reform areas DOD is telling Congress, what are they?
Well, Frank Kendall sent a letter to Senators John McCain and Carl Levin back in June detailing seven areas where he thinks DOD needs help and needs help to improve acquisition outcomes. Now, Kendall is the Undersecretary of Defense for Acquisition, Technology, and Logistics. He actually spoke yesterday at the FCA Acquisition and Modernization Conference for the first time about these suggestions that he sent to Congress. The biggest thing Congress could do, Kendall says, end the threat of sequestration.
2013 was a nightmare year. We actually implemented sequestration, you know, well into the year. You know, we bought ourselves a little time with the deal that got us through 14 and presumably through 15, and it's coming right back in 16. We're working on the budget now. The services are finalizing their POMs, and we're going to go through an exercise this fall where we're going to have to look at what the president's going to submit and something that's compliant with sequestration to see what the damage is. The damage is huge. Compound that problem with the fact that all the cost-saving things we're asking for the Congress for, they're not giving us. So there's the sequestration problem. There's also a problem with OCO going away because we become dependent on OCO. There's also a problem with not getting things like a BRAC or any adjustments to compensation growth or the ability to lay up cruisers or the Army's aviation restructuring plan or the airplanes the Air Force wants to retire. All of those are essentially bills to the department. The uncertainty compounds us because we're reluctant to take out force structure because we might be able to afford it later, but we don't know.
Now, Kendall says DOD will continue to make its case to Congress, but so far it hasn't worked very well. If sequestration hits in 2016, Kendall estimates that the services will have to cut about $20 billion from its current planned request. Now, remember, this is already down several billions of dollars from sequestration last year, and then just cuts and cuts and cuts that have been coming over the last few years. Now, beyond sequestration, Kendall highlighted several other areas, including just something as simplifying the rules and the laws that DOD already has on the books and they already are using. Kendall says his office is already working on recommendations to the House and Senate authorization committees to reduce the complexity program managers face and how they run their programs. Katrina McFarland is the Assistant Secretary of Defense for Acquisition. She has already asked industry as well for their input on the regulatory burdens that they face, and what's come back to her is already a list of a few dozen that DOD will consider improving or maybe even just making go away. So simplifying the rules is a second one. A third area is the acquisition workforce. Kendall says he wants to make sure Congress knows the value of the Defense Acquisition Workforce Development Fund.
It was used initially to increase the size of the workforce. It is being used now to make key hires for key losses to some degree. I just gave people guidance that they could do that to a limited extent. It's also being used a lot now for training, for improving professionalism. DOTF is enormously valuable to us. So we don't need as large a fund for it as we started out with. We've asked for less money this time. But keeping it going, I think, is a very, very helpful thing. It is being increasingly dedicated to improving professionalism. I think that's a very worthy goal. A very valuable resource with a high return.
Now, Kendall says the fund isn't in danger of being shut down or even getting severely cut, but he just wanted to reiterate to Congress, hey, this is something we really do count on. And the workforce has been a big, big issue for DOD because they cut too many acquisition workers back in the 1990s. And really, since 2008, they've really started to replace them. One number I read is DOD's acquisition workforce is up 21% since 2008. So they don't want that to fall backwards. We have posted a link to Kendall's letter to the lawmakers on federalnewsradio.com, so you can learn all seven of those recommendations.
So when can we expect to see some of these reform packages?
Well, Kendall didn't offer too many specifics about the timing of the reforms, but he says the recommendations will be put together in a big old document by the Senate lawmakers in the next few months. And then he says his office will go through that document and figure out the best approaches to work on them and if DOD needs any help from Congress. So they already know that something is coming and they have plans around it. Now, in the meantime, Kendall says his office also is reviewing the suggestions coming from major defense and contracting associations, such as the Professional Services Council that our colleague Jared Serbu reported on last week. I also know that the National Defense Industrial Association will be submitting their recommendations to DOD in the coming weeks as well.
We're speaking with Federal News Radio's executive editor, Jason Miller. Now, DOD has been trying to get its acquisition process under control internally for a few years now, with such as the Better Buying Initiative, Better Buying Power Initiative. Did Kendall offer an update on any of those efforts? Are they having an impact?
They absolutely are, and Better Buying 2.0 has been in place now for about 18 months, and I think he really pointed to some real progress. One of the most recent initiatives related to 2.0 version was the Superior Supplier Program pilot that the Navy launched about a month ago, called the Contractor Performance Assessment Reporting System, or CPARS. Kendall says it's definitely got contractors' attention.
And I had an interesting experience. I had a CEO of one of the companies who was not in the top come in and say, well, I got it, and now I've got to go brief my board on why I'm in the bottom group. And I said, yes, that's what I want. I want you to brief your board on why you're in the bottom group. I want you to understand why you're in the bottom group, and I want you to do something about it if it needs to be done. That's the reason in part that we did it. We're letting you know how the customer feels about you. So we're going to expand this to the rest of the department next year. The services will do this on a by-service basis. So we're going to roll forward with that. Now, I'm open to, very receptive to the criticism that CPARS isn't perfect. We need to improve CPARS. I'm also open to the criticism that the data set is somewhat limited in some cases. I got that. We're still going to do this. We're going to try to improve CPARS, and we're trying to use it more so that you get the feedback you need and you understand how you're doing relative to your competitors. I think that's valuable information. I'd want to know that if I were in business.
Now, another big area under Better Buying Power 1 and 2 is the concept of something called should cost, which should a program, project, a piece of equipment cost, and then affordability. Can the DoD afford it? Kendall says DoD has been putting caps on programs for about 4 years now in light of cuts from sequestration.
Those tools, I think, are working reasonably effectively to constrain designs and keep the requirements community mindful of the fact that cost does matter, that you can't just ask for what you'd like to have and assume that it's going to be paid for. Our budgets don't support that. Now, we are starting to see at the end of the current five-year plan some serious affordability problems for us in the 20s. And as we go through the budget process in the Pentagon this year, we're going to be looking at some of those issues. Bob Work, the Secretary, has commissioned some work called strategic portfolio reviews, and some of those are looking at the affordability question and what do we do about the affordability problem that's kind of confronting us. It's a bow wave, but it's a little further out than bow waves often are. To avoid that sort of thing and to avoid starts that we have to stop, programs that we spend a few billion dollars on and then kill, we're requiring affordability analysis. It's in the new 5002.
Now, Kendall says that's going to fall to the G8s and the J8s and other program managers in the military who will have to go to their superiors and ask them and get their approval for whether this program is affordable before they even get started. It's really a way to help control those program costs, and DoD's thought this concept's been working over the last few years.
So what are some new areas that the Undersecretary is looking at?
Well, Better Buying 3.0 is only a few months away from completion, so he started to give us a little bit of highlights about how that will build upon versions 1 and 2, and of course there'll be some new areas. One of those new areas will be a focus on best value. Now, we hear that term a lot in contracting. Can the government get best value? But what Kendall says is DoD will increase the incentives for innovations from contractors. Kendall says DoD will define two thresholds under best value: minimum capabilities and affordable innovations.
What this does, I think, is it allows industry to make informed judgments about what to bid to us. And it gives industry a reason to bid above the threshold, to give us more performance, to be innovative. I had a classic experience with this in my career in industry when we were offering a product to the government. It was a weapon system that we were absolutely convinced had better performance and was hugely valuable to the operator if they had this performance. But we couldn't get credit for what we were doing in the proposal we were going to submit. There was no way in the source selection process to give us credit. This is a way to give credit for that. This is the way to say, and so to let industry know how much credit you'll get for it. So anyway, we're going to do more of that. I think defining value in monetary terms wherever we can do it is an important thing for us to do.
Now, another area under Better Buying Power 3 will be to reduce the barriers to entry for new companies. Kendall says there's a growing concern in DoD about their what they call technological superiority and whether other nations, or in this case many times organizations, are surpassing their technical capabilities. In fact, Deputy Secretary Work talked about this initiative just yesterday and at the National Defense Convocation Ceremony, where he says, to maintain our technological superiority as we transition from one war-fighting regime to another, we must prepare now. In addition to new technologies, the new offset strategy will require innovative thinking, the development of new operational concepts, and a new way of organizing and long-term strategies. Basically, what he's saying there is that the DoD needs to get better critical thinking and research so the nation can say we are dominant in this technology area. Now, beyond Better Buying Power 3, Kendall also, along with DoD Comptroller Mike McCord, who just got sworn in about a couple weeks ago, will actually issue an updated memo giving contracting officers and program managers more leeway and incentives, saying to them, it's okay if you don't spend all your money at the end of the fiscal year. In fact, we won't penalize you. We'll give you some incentives to make smart decisions, not just spend all your money. This memo actually was first issued by Kendall and former Comptroller Robert Hale back in 2011, and it's also a recommendation that Kendall made to Senators McCain and Levin.
So, Jason, I've got one question about that, something you mentioned that's coming in Better Buying Power 3.0. And it sounds like, if you read between the lines, the department is hearing what industry is saying about lowest price technically acceptable versus best value, which, of course, industry prefers. And it seems like maybe the department sees that it needs to get to best value if it's going to actually buy technical superiority for the warfighter.
I think one of the things that Kendall said was the lowest price technically acceptable LPTA, they went too far with it under Better Buying Power 2, and they have pulled back. Now, a lot of industry will tell you, yeah, that's what they tell you, but that's not what they're seeing in contracting. And I think what he's doing with this idea of best value is to say, you know, best value can be defined in such broad terms. How do we maybe narrow it down a little bit and say, here's best value minimum. If you can give us, here's how you'll be rated if you are innovative, and they want some affordable innovations. And I think that's the key there.
And do you sense that they are starting to get worried about the downsizing and the future budgets and the ability to, I don't know, suppose they had to go fight ISIS and wondering whether the United States could in fact prevail?
Well, one of the things at the conference yesterday that was a big discussion was sequestration. There's not a lot of belief that sequestration will go away unless if there's an event, a terrorist attack. They have to go and fight another, you know, organization, a terrorist organization or a country or something. They need an event really to stop sequestration. So I think that kind of gets to your question, is that when time comes, you know, Congress will do their job. But in the meantime, there's this belief among the former DoD people who were at the conference yesterday that Congress isn't going to – they didn't see the sky fall from sequestration, so they're not going to move very quickly to end it.
Jason Miller is Federal News Radio's executive editor. Jason, thank you.
My pleasure.